All right, so now to the message. Last week, we approached as much as we could, and we tried to cover the whole book of Job. So let's see if we can finish today. I had heard about you. Who is you? No, us. Who is that you? That is God. That's why it's capitalized, and that's why that unique caller, so you know that is God. I have heard of you, God, with my own ears. But now my eyes can see you. I'd like to tell you that I have heard from God since I was very little in my life and touched me immediately. And I have been into some kind of a religious person all my life. I'm very happy to this. But the first time I heard about God was not really the God that I know now. In the beginning, I heard many things about God. There are things that were very attractive, and there were things that were very scary. So I was a little bit confused for quite a while. Is this individual, should I love or should I fear? Or should I do both? It's possible. And this could be the experience of most people that choose to believe in life. Every human being sometimes, or either they approach God because they fear him, or because they love him. And some people walk away from God because they are too confused to even realize who God is. So let's see, what is the purpose of the book of Job? The message today, we have to entitle, just for the sake of record, I would say still God's MVP, but this is MVP 2, so the second part of MVP. So what do you remember what is MVP stands for on the context of being someone that God calls MVP? All right. For the world, most valuable player, right? According to the word of God, God's MVP, those who will obey God at any cost. If there is anything else that will make you give away from God, you are not God's at all. So the only way you can say I am really his, if there's nothing that can distract you from that commitment at any cost. So God's MVP is most valuable person to God. Now somebody may say, but Pastor, the Bible says that God does not discriminate, and he doesn't. Or that God does not have a preference for any. You see in the context of the book of Job what that means. What does it mean to be an MVP on God's eyes? Most valuable person, most valiant, whatever pronunciation is, okay? Valiant, it means brave. Most brave person, and most virtuous person. Values of God's godly person are fundamental biblical beliefs, biblical. Okay, not just a creed or something that you decide to make up your, somebody suggesting you, biblical beliefs that guide a person's behavior and shape their priorities in life. That's what is values. Now, Job. We chose Job as an example of what should we do when pain comes. By the way, is coming. Pain always comes. It's a sure thing. Pain always comes. So when it comes, what should we do? All right? So let's see what the Bible tells us. The questions. Who does what to whom? How and why? You cannot read the book, and I'm not talking about the book of Job, the whole Bible, without asking yourself, who does what to whom, how, and why? If you cannot answer all those, you're still searching. You still need something else. So let's see. God tempts no one. Here is where we will talk a little bit about the who, doing what to whom. No one is tested. No one who is tested should say, God is testing me. This, oh, I'm sorry. No, I'm not. You see, testing and tempting in Hebrew, in Greek is the same thing. It has the same meaning. So that is on purpose. No one who is tested or tempted should say, God is testing or tempting me. This is because God is not tempted by any, how many? Any form of evil. Nor does he tempt anyone. Oh, you have no idea how much this verse means to me. You have no idea because, probably you do because you heard me using this so many times. Why is this so important? Because a lot of things that I learned, I heard about God, this text alone eliminated. It took fear away from me. Because when I received those afflictions, I knew that that was not coming from the one that I love the most and respect the most. It came from somebody else. God tempts no one. No temptation or testing has seized you that isn't common to human beings. Let me quickly say this to you. Once that Adam and Eve invited someone who was homeless, was flying with a bunch of his buddies all around the universe looking for a place to, a corner to sleep, or to, and came to this planet, and Adam and Eve said, oh, you can have that room, that extra room there. See, you can stay there. And Satan came in, and when he came in, he brought all his luggage. Billions of very mean dudes that left heaven with him came here. The moment that Adam and Eve gave the key, it gave us also gave from us the freedom that we were supposed to have. Meaning now Satan has the freedom to tempt us anytime he feels like. And there's nothing God can do about it besides give us the strength to resist. Look what this verse says. No test or temptation sees you that is in common to people, to human beings. But God is what? God is? Oh, brothers, he said this so loud that it will scare all the evil spirits away from you. God is what?
Faithful.
Faithful to do what? He won't allow you to be tempted beyond your abilities. He cannot stop the temptation because we as humans invite this to our planet. Every time we sin, we give away that freedom. But God says, because I created you, even though you messed up, I'm still looking for your best interest. I will not allow you to be tempted or tested beyond your abilities. Instead, with the temptation, God will supply a way out. Why? Because God has created no losers so that you will be able to endure it. In other words, if you fall into temptation, it is your choice. To get out of temptation is also your choice. That's 1 Corinthians 10:13. Now, what is this has in common besides the tempting, testing with the other text? Remember, it's easy for you to remember. James 1:13, 1 Corinthians 10:13. If you put that zero there, it's very easy to remember. James 1:13 and then 1 Corinthians 10:13 are the two basic for you to understand. How many of you here speaks more than one language? I know some of you speak several, okay? When I came to the United States, I was shocked when I heard the first time somebody using the Lord's Prayer. Because the very common among English-speaking people is the King James Version of the Lord's Prayer. And you know where I'm going with this. Right there it says, don't lead us into temptation. How can God lead us into temptation and then deliver us from temptation? And so I was confused. Why? Because, praise God, when I received my first Bible in my hand, the first time I memorized the Lord's Prayer, even in a Catholic church, we memorized from the Almeida version, which is almost as old as the King James. But this is how the Almeida version says, "Don't let us fall into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." There are some English versions that caught up and they start changing, because that is more consistent with James 1:13 and 1 Corinthians 10:13, that God tempts no one. So God cannot lead us in temptation. He says, okay, I'll put there, and then I'll take you out. Why put me there in the first place? So I want just to call you to that attention. When you look, again, when you next time you pray the Lord's Prayer, instead of saying, don't lead us in temptation, say, don't let us fall into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, the one who tried to make me fall into temptation, okay? That's just a friendly advice. Godly MVP. God planned for us to do good things. That is the purpose. And to live as He has always wanted us to live, a perfect and good life. This is why He sent Christ to make us what we are today. All right, Ephesians 2, verse 10, Contemporary English Version. Now, I'm going a little fast because we have a lot to cover. Job's character, we covered this last week. The Bible says, and here's the short version, he was an honest and innocent man. He honored God, and he stayed away from evil. You want a recipe to get away from temptation? Look at that. He was honest. Be honest. Innocent. Honor God. Stay away from evil. That's a good recipe. I don't know about you, but that works. Job 1:1, New Century Version. Job's possessions. It says that he had 7,000 sheep. Have you realized how many people it takes to take care of 7,000 sheep? If you look at Luke 15, it says that it was 100 sheep, right? I did some research and says that typically a shepherd, it takes one shepherd for 25 to 50 to 100. But if it goes over 100, it's very difficult to control, because sometimes you have to stay with them 24 hours. You have to protect them against animals. You have to protect them against themselves. So sometimes it takes more than one. So how many will it take for 7,000? At least, if you look for 50, it will be 140. If you were 100, it would be 70. But if you know that people have to have a break because they cannot go 24 hours, 7, so I estimate, this is my own personal estimate, at least 200 shepherds to take care of 7,000 sheep. Then 3,000 camels. Now, camels are different. So at least to take care of a herd of 25. So you multiply that, you're going to find out that you need how many, probably around 60 or a little bit more. So round up, for this 1,000 here, we talk about at least 350 people. Okay? That's a rough estimate. What is a yoke? 2. So we talk about 1,000. But yokes is different. For the team, it needs at least one person. So how many people will make that? 500. Then 500 female donkeys. I don't know about them. They talk about only the females. I don't know why Job didn't have the males. I don't know. Don't ask me. I'm just reading what it says in the Bible. And then let's see that of the female donkeys that we need another at least 50 people. Around here, we have around 500 so far. And a very large household, more servants. My point here is this. Satan came not only to take the animals, but to kill the people that grew up inside of Job's home. Some of them probably were servants of his father, grandfather. This is talk about family. They are not, when a person is innocent, when a person is good, he does not have slaves. He has friends that works with him. Do you understand what I'm saying, right? And so that's why Satan did not just send those servants as a slave to another country. They were killed. All of them except one, you know. Job's children, 7 sons and 3 daughters, 10. Another thing they'd like to ask you, how old do you think Job was when this all happened to him? Because he already had 10 children. You have to understand that he had to be at least 37, 30, 40 years old already. And the Bible says that his older son was in his home, which implies that he was married too. But nowhere says that it says that the 7 sons and 3 daughters were killed, but doesn't mention the daughter-in-law that was killed as well, and many other people. All were killed, but only one came. Who is doing what to whom? There is only one destroyer, brothers and sisters, one. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves, and originally it says Ben Elohim, meaning all this is supposed to be all good that came to talk to God. And one who decides to be the adversary came among them. The Lord said to the adversary, to Satan, "Have you noticed my servant Job? No one on earth is like him." Please understand, it's talking about that time, that location. Okay? No one on earth is like him. He is an honest, it's wonderful God can say this about us. He is an honest, innocent man. That proves one thing. You can be rich and still be honest. Because the man was so rich, and yet he was honest and innocent. So there's nothing wrong about having money. Is make sure that money doesn't have you. That is the problem. And make sure who is the master. Honor God and stay away from evil. Satan answered the Lord, "Job honors you because one reason, you protect him too much. If you move away, everything." And look what Satan said. And this is the sad part, because there are theologians, there are pastors, there are people that are teaching an image of God that is only pleasing to Satan, not to anybody else. "But reach out your hand, you, and destroy, you the destroyer, everything he has, because you gave and you take it away, and he will curse you in your face." What is Satan saying? He is saying this, it tried to manipulate us, not manipulate God, because God knows who he is. So they say the Sabians came. Sabians. They were the southwestern Arabia and modern-day Yemen. By the way, they still come in with bombs and everything else. They still doing. The Sabians came. It says they carry away the oxen and the donkeys, and they kill the servants except one. Satan says, "Kill all of them, but I need one messenger to go and punch Job. I am the only one who escaped to tell you this." And goes, now the first one, human beings. Second, lightning come. And look what it says, lightning from God. Remember, Satan says, you go and destroy. God, send God to destroy and burn the sheep and the servants. I am the only one who escaped to tell you this. Now, I don't know about you, but fire from heaven to kill 7,000 sheep, it is a big fire. It's not just a lightning. It was a huge thing. It probably left a mark, you know, around. It was a very devastating picture. But I am the only one who came to tell you this. The Babylonians, here the second group of people. The Babylonians always create problems. Do you know Babylon is still around, right? According to the Bible, Babylon is never going to go away until the Lord comes. The second messenger was still speaking, and here comes the Babylonians, and they take the camels, they stole it, and killed the servants. I'm the only one left. A great win, again, an act of God according to them. And destroyed, and this time came to the oldest brother's house. That's what is implied, that he was married, and killed all his children. And this is what it says. And I am the only one. Again, I'm the only one who came. So far, 2, 6 human elements. A group, 2 groups, and 4 individuals. Are you counting? 2 groups, the Sabians, the Babylonians. Then each servant that came, 4 of them. Total of 6. When Job heard this, he got up and tore his robe and shaved his head, and he was very sad. He went to the ground, and he still worshiped God. When pain comes, don't turn your eyes away from God. He is not the one who is causing it. He is the only hope that you have to be delivered from your pain. All right? And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb. I had nothing when I was born, and now I have nothing. I'm going to go to the grave with nothing. God gave, and sorry, Job, you are wrong. And God has taken away. But he was just a product of the theology, the limitation that he had. So he believed that it was God who was taking it. Blessed be the name of God anyway. It doesn't matter. I still, in all this, Job did not sin. Why? Because he did not blame God for any wrongdoing. According to his misconception of God, he believed that it was God who was doing this to him. Now, Satan was not just happy to take everything that he had, and he sent him some sores. Have Satan sent some sores to you? Yes. People say, I'm so sorry about this. Job's painful sores. So Satan left the Lord's presence. He put painful sores in the body of Job. But you know, from the top here to the bottom of the sole of his feet, from the top of his head and to the soles of his feet. So he cannot think, and he could not walk. And he has to scrap him all the time. Can you imagine your entire body filled with sores that you cannot, you cannot lay down, you cannot sit down, you cannot sleep. You have probably no idea how much this was. Sometimes you have a tiny little mosquito bite and you cry all day long for no reason. Sometimes you have a tiny little cut and you say, oh, why me? Come on, baby. We are so such a children sometimes. You have no idea what pain is. Then Job took a piece of broken pottery and he scrapped himself with it as he had among the ashes. It doesn't say here, but I am sure that our air was infested with flies to try to feast with all those things that Job had in his body, an invitation for more disease. Yes. And then number 7, Satan had one more individual to use to tempt Job. Yes, the wife. Job's wife said to him, "Why are you trying to stay innocent? Why are you saying that you don't deserve this? Instead, curse God and die." In other words, deny God and get over with it. And she implies on this that if God would take his life, probably would take her life as well. So this was giving up. The invitation was, let's give up. By the way, the wife here is not, I'm not calling attention because it's a female. You may have many people that Satan may come to you to try to discourage you, to send you the wrong message. To Jesus, Satan used Peter to try to discourage him. And sometimes we don't realize that people very close to us can be used. So please feel always aware that anybody can say. So this, he replied, "You are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept the good from God and not the trouble?" He was confused, of course. In all this, Job did not sin in what he said. Job 2, verse 10, NIV. Job's friends, here comes the sores. Those are not only in his skin, but somebody who was trying to get it on his skin too. Job 4, verse 6, Eliphaz, he spoke. We're not going to go into detail. You can look in the Bible. He spoke. But all of them, those are members of the church who came to console. The guy is covered with flies and sores all his body. He's and here are those people spanking him. You deserve this. And they all spoke bad about God as well. And the other friend, so-called a friend, Bildad, and then the third one, Zophar. They all spoke, and they spoke a lot. And this is what Job asked. After all this dialogue, very long, Job asked, "But I want to speak to the Almighty. I don't want to speak to my church members anymore. I want to speak directly with God. I know He can hear me. I want to talk to Him. I want to present my case to Him. Because I'm confused. I need to understand. Only God can explain this to me. But as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives. And He will stand upon the earth at last. This is as gospel as if it was written by Matthew. Or it's so right on the money. Even though the book of Job was the first book ever written in the Bible. And after my body has decayed," this is not very good for those that are, call themselves Protestants or Catholics, because they believe that you die and something goes to heaven. It says here, "And after my body has decayed, yet in my body I will see God." Because bodies have eyes. Spirit has none. This is just a breath. Okay? And then it says, Job continue, "I will see Him for myself. Yes, I'll see Him with my own eyes." I am overwhelmed with that thought. I can tell you that Job was a Seventh-day Adventist. You're laughing. It's a common truth. He was a very good Seventh-day Adventist. That's why he was MVP. The Lord responds, of course, always. Let me say this to you. Would you repeat with me? Always God responds. Sometimes we pray, we think that God is not talking back, but if you stop talking, you may be able to hear. The Lord speaks. "Then the Lord answered Job out of the strong wind. And he said to Job many things about who he is. He revealed to Job what he is. Will the person who argues with the Almighty, God said, correct him? Let the person who accuses God answer him, because the three so-called friends, Satan, everybody was accusing God, saying, this is God's doing. Brothers and sisters, if you have learned nothing about what we are saying today, make one change in your life. Stop blaming God for the things that you bring upon yourself or Satan brings to you. Instead, look for God for the answers that you need from Him, which is deliverance. Will a person argue with the Almighty? I will not, because He knows everything. So then Job states this. My ears have heard of you before. Yes, I went to Sabbath school. Yes, I heard so many people preaching. But now it's different. Now my eyes have seen you. My brothers and sisters, the whole purpose of this message is for you to be more attractive to God, to know who really God is and what God is not. Don't fear God. God does not want to be feared. God wants to be loved, to be respected, to be revered. Stop being afraid. Because as long as you are controlled by fear, faith does not grow. Because they cannot coexist. So I'm inviting you today, for always, into the day that you see your beloved Savior coming, love Him, respect Him, and He will come to you as your friend. My ears have heard of you before, but now my eyes have seen you. Job mediates. By the way, when finally he saw God, he said, I want to be like Him. And immediately he turned his eyes away from Him, from all his sores and everything else. And he started looking for somebody else that needs help. Here are these three very healthy, very confident church members. And they did not know it. The book implies that Satan has planned for those three and their families. They were the next target. And so Job became a preacher, a pastor, the moment that finally he sees God and he understands a new calling for his life. I need to pray for others. It's only when we give, the only way we can forget our pain, when we look to others and see that somebody may need better, more help than us, and they may need our helping hand. So he prayed. And you know what the Bible says? After Job had prayed for his friends, so-called friends, the Lord gave him success again. The Lord gave Job twice as much as he had owned before. God rewards those that are praised for all. God bless those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Who do you think said this? Jacobo. Do you know who Jacobo is? James. After they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who loved him. Do you see how James 1 verse 12, James 1 verse 13 belongs in the side of the book of Job? No one who is tempted said, I'm tempted by God. By the way, when you are tempted, be patient. Because God is going to end up giving you a reward for you when you endure what Satan has sent to you. It says here, God, afterwards they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who loved him. Did Job love God? Do you love God? Yes. Look what it says, the Lord bless the less part of Job's life even more than the first part. Job had 14,000 sheep. That means he has to hire more servants. 6,000 camels. That's a lot of camel. 8,000 teams of oxen. That means that he had more property. Because the oxen, how many land he has to care for. And 1,000 female donkeys. And it goes on by saying Job also had 7 more sons. I'm thinking about his wife. 20 kids. Wow. Yes, when I was around 17, 18 years old, there was a program in my hometown, and it was for Mother's Day. And I remember to this day the race station, and they made this huge program. And it was free, everybody could go, and it was filled with a very large auditorium. And they at the end, they honored this lady. She had 18 kids, and she came to the in front of the cameras, and all 18 kids in behind her and her husband. Whoa, and she was so healthy, still young, and this Job's wife, she had 20. Now, something else that I'd like to say, ladies, you will probably never notice this in the book of Job before, and I want to call your attention to it. Have you heard before from some people that the Bible is very machista, that are all about man, man this, man that, and man this, that the women, I don't know what Bible you read, because my Bible puts women in a very high place, okay? Notice that it doesn't say the name of the boys. Not the first time, it didn't say the name of the girls either. The first 10, we don't know their names. But the second team, the second bunch, here comes 7 boys again, but 3 girls. But something is unique about this, and I don't know if you haven't noticed. Not only gives them, presents them by name, but say this, there were no other women in all the land as beautiful as Job's daughter. And then says this, and their father, Job, gave them land to own along with their brothers. Something very unique, something that we never have any other record. And that is the scriptures, equality. Not if they're going to get married to this, they're going to have, no, gave them property just like the boys. Treat them equally. And then says this, after this, after what? The sores, the loss, the devastation, temptation, testing, everything else, after this. By the way, brothers and sisters, please pay attention to maybe this, the greatest word in your life will be after this. When you persist with God, there will be always something after this. Job lived 140 years. After this. So whatever he thought that was the end of his life, he got 140 years extra. And then it says this, he lived to see his children, 10 of them, grandchildren, I don't know how many, great-grandchildren, and great-great-grandchildren. What a life. Then Job fell asleep. Now, he didn't die. He just fell asleep. Because he said, I shall see him with my own eyes. So he's just sleeping. He was old and had lived many years. Brothers, God is inviting to you to come Are you his MVP? Is your goal to be innocent, honest, a person who despises evil? Don't ever justify evil. We are not entitled to hate anything or anyone. We are entitled to walk away from what is bad, but don't give you any idea that you are entitled to have evil in you and you can justify evil. Evil cannot be justifiable in any circumstance ever. If you are a child of God, be like him. Be the most valuable person there is to be. God bless you, MVPs.